radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
No, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at NRG Center for the 2024 Texas Trophy Hunters Extravaganza. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Andre Johnson, Gold Jacket.
Yeah!
Yusei Kikuchi on the hill.
Yeah!
Fun. Looking forward to the week. Yesterday was Thursday.
Good
Today
point.
It is Friday.
What's tomorrow?
We are so excited. We so excited. It's a great song by Rebecca Black. Shout out to Fred Fowler, RIP, who used to popularize that song on these very airwaves. Yep. I have always had a deep appreciation for that song in an unironic way. And my favorite part is the random rapper in the middle of this song, a song sung by a 14-year-old who is driving 300 miles per hour through downtown of a city, clearly running people over along the way.
Yep.
If this was actually a city that was populated, maybe it was downtown Houston, because that is like one of the few places where there are zero pedestrians in the United States of America downtown.
Good point. Yeah, that song, it just got played so much.
Not enough.
Play it so much. It's so annoying.
Not enough. Sam, I don't think Sam ever heard this song before. No. Oh, Sam has heard it. Okay, Sam knows. She's smiling.
I mean,
see?
Sam was probably in like second grade when that song came out.
Like, don't date me more, damn it.
Like,
I think that came out when I was in college. I think she also made a sequel song to try to like cash in on the clout, because she sadly was ahead of her time. You know, she could have been the Hawk Tua girl. She could have been it. She came out with that song a little bit later.
2011. So I was a freshman. Yep. I was a freshman in college.
Okay, I was a senior in college. Yeah.
So you're not that much older than me.
Well, you're the one that makes it seem like I'm older than you all the time.
It's the gray.
I'm not dyeing my hair for you, Joe.
No, I think you should make it.
Listen,
more.
Listen, I might lean that way. It's fine. Like, it's 2024. Everyone's allowed to be who they are, okay? But I'm not dyeing my hair for you, even though you clearly just asked me to do that. I'm going to call HR&P about that tomorrow.
I'll shave my head for you, I promise.
You'll shave your head for me?
I almost did this weekend.
You've talked about it a couple of times.
Yeah, I thought about it.
What's the occasion for this weekend today?
So on Monday night, actually, my wife and I, there was with Katie Stone, who just had us on, there was a private event for all the restaurants that were participating, and we went to that. I also I wore like a suit. I couldn't wear a hat. And I was looking in the mirror, and I was like,
I feel for you, big
this
dog.
Is tough.
I feel for
this
you.
This is tough.
Can't do anything about it unless you start doing something about it ahead of time.
It's true.
Davis Mills, who had a great preseason debut for the Houston Texans.
Mm-hmm.
If he's listening right now, my dog, as somebody who had a super receding hairline, I'm telling you, the Keeps or Hims or whatever, they work. Mm-hmm. My hair came back.
Get on it now, though. Or you'll be like, and you'll miss the boat.
Get on it now.
Yeah.
Like, this is just advice. And for anyone with a receding hairline, because when it starts to go, it goes. I looked like Vegeta from Dragon Ball Z when I was living in Seattle. And for those who don't know, Vegeta has the most ridiculous widow's peak you'll ever see. But mine actually looked like that. And that was before the autonomous zone stuff.
Yeah.
That was before. Okay? Anyway. YouTube Keith asks, y'all buying anything from the hunting show? Oh, of course. Crossbow.
Oh,
I'm known to buy a crossbow.
That sounds like a great idea.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
We'll just bring the crossbow. We'll put some targets in the studio.
Yeah.
Starting breaks.
No way that'll go wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, if and continuing to give shout-outs to Fred and AJ of the Blitz days, if John can get pepper sprayed, then why can't we crossbow an intern? Why not? Well, I'm just asking the question, middle management,
apple,
Joe.
Put the apple on
top
of their
head. No way that'll go wrong.
I mean, if we just get him to sign some paperwork, I think we'll be okay.
You a rubber-tipped crossbow?
Just be like, hey, like if I die, I can't sue the company.
Well,
no one would ever sign that. That has to be the smallest fine print ever. we need some shady
I mean,
lawyers.
You essentially sign that if you go to an Astros game as a media member, so what's the difference?
That is true.
what's the difference?
So for those who don't know, I got mad because my car got damaged in the Astros parking lot because their parking lot attendants basically said, yeah, whatever, man, just park wherever. And my car got attacked by somebody who was mad about where it was parked. And then they showed me on the back of my credential and said that, like, if I die, I'm responsible for it. So that means, like, my parents would probably, like, I have to pay for, like, say I got, like, I just died at a Minute Maid. Like, they would probably be, like, liable to spend, like, $50 to have my body removed.
Oh,
whatever
yeah.
it cost.
That's tough.
Anyway, hey, sorry, we're all over the place. It's Gallant and George on a Friday. We are at NRG Center. Andre Johnson's getting inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame tomorrow. He will do his speech. He is the last person to speak. I think he'll be short, sweet, and to the point, as he's always been. Very much appreciated on my end. Whenever he speaks, the words really resonated. And there's too many wide receivers where it doesn't. There's too many wide receivers, blah, 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 blah. I mean, for example, Golden Domer, Chase Claypool. Remember when he said he was a top three wide receiver and he's probably been on three teams already in the course of, what, like 5 years in the NFL, if not more?
Yeah.
There's so much yapping among wide receivers, which is why Andre Johnson is a rare breed. As far as his numbers, 1,062 career receptions, which is 11th, 14,185 receiving yards, also 11th, 70 touchdowns, which ranks 51st. He had three 200-plus yard games. He had 1,500 yards receiving three times over 5 years. In 2008, 1,575. 2009, 1,569. 2012, 1,598. That year was the year that I got to see all of. Plus 1,407 in 2013, the very next year. And that was in a season where the Texans lost 14 straight games. So that's a lot of receiving yards. He led the league in receptions in 2006 with 103 and 115 in 2008. He led the league in receiving yards in 2008 and 2009 with those numbers I mentioned a little bit ago. We were going through some of his best games. You heard the Gus-gasm from his 11-catch, 207-yard, one-touchdown performance against Tennessee in Week 15 of 2008. You also heard his walk-off touchdown if you've been listening to the show all afternoon. 14 catches, 273 yards, and a touchdown against the Jaguars. Week 9 of 2013, though, is the one that I remember perhaps more than any game because this was one of those crazy-ass games. This is while the Texans were in the midst of this 14-game losing streak to end their season after a 2-0 start. In this game, it was Case Keenum's second career start. And he had started the week before against the Kansas City Chiefs because Matt Schaub was injured. And with the I forget what he re-aggravated, but he wasn't able to play. And he actually was respectable against Kansas City. But this game against the Colts was drunk. This is, I think, 5 minutes into the game where Case Keenum finds a wide-open Andre Johnson downfield, as he was so good at doing, just sneaking behind the entire defense for a touchdown.
Ben Tate is now in as the running back. Runs a boot to the right side. Wide open, and down the field goes Andre Johnson for his first touchdown in a long time.
That is a frustration a lot of people had, Joe. The guy didn't score enough touchdowns.
Yeah, it's not his fault.
I know.
It's just not. I mean, it's so weird hearing Case Keenum, like the fact that he's on the Texans roster.
I know.
We watched him play last night, and he threw touchdown passes to Andre Johnson, who's going to the Hall of Fame. It's crazy.
Joe, I remember talking about him on the radio in college. We had some random tangent, like a Syracuse-based talk show on a Saturday, talking about how Case Keenum was, like, I think in his fifth year of eligibility or something like that. Never did I think I would be talking about Case Keenum again on August 2nd, 2024. So they open up the game with that, and you're like, okay. Didn't know that Case Keenum had this in his bag, because a lot of us, that offseason, we were like, it's cool that Case Keenum's on the team, but those super diehard psychopathic Houston Cougars fans were all like, man, I really like this guy. He's got potential. He's a true underdog. So, one touchdown, okay, that's fine. Not too long later, this happened. Again, Andre Johnson sneaks behind the defense, and Case Keenum finds him in the end zone.
Second and 10. Throwing time again. Keenan going deep. And it is caught. Andre Johnson again for the touchdown. Perfect pass over the head and arms of Antoine Bethea.
And that wasn't it. Keenum had another touchdown pass to Andre Johnson in the first half of this game. And everyone thought that the Texans had just found the next Tom Brady.
Oh,
everyone was losing their minds. NRG Stadium, when it's loud there, it's loud. Everyone was losing their mind.
It's funny to think like a case. Like I for some reason, I've been again sucked in these like YouTube rabbit holes, and Case Keenum keeps coming up in like trivia questions.
Yeah.
But like all his stats in college, he had a ball. He balled out at U of H. And then it's funny to think, I can only imagine what that would have been like. Like, if we lived through now the Mills Mafia, I cannot imagine how those same people who were so diehard Mills Mafia were talking about Case Keenum in the day.
I can tell you. So my friend Mike Meltzer, who used to work with me at the Texans flagship, Meltzer and I talked for a little bit last night. It was great to catch up with him and a bunch of other Syracuse people. Shout out Syracuse. I know I'm annoying with it. But
there was
a show that Meltzer was doing, and I think Patrick Creighton was filling in with him one day. And I remember I was in the Chick-fil-A drive-thru, and some caller called in. And I've only heard Mike like this once. Once I witnessed it in person where he yelled unbearable 12 times in a period of a minute.
My favorite moment in radio history.
Yeah, that was where I knew. I was like, oh, damn, I guess this this morning drive's upgrade might not be the upgrade I thought it was going from nights to morning drive. Where they both walked out of the studio, Mike and Seth, and I had to finish the segment. I was like, oh, great. I literally just got here. But the other time was while he was on with Patrick, some caller called in about Case Keenum saying, like, Case Keenum's clearly, like, a great quarterback. What don't you see here? And Mike just drops, like, six GDs on this guy. Like, and I mean, there's a certain point where you can't press the dump button. And I remember, like, I love Mike. He's so like analytical. He's so intelligent, and he gives you all these like facts like in a calm way. But when Mike goes ballistic, it was so scary. And I remember listening to that and laughing, and then thinking like, I hope that he doesn't get fired for this. And he didn't. He just had to apologize to everyone that asked about it on the text line.
Oh,
sort of like writing your name on like a chalkboard.
That's a great punishment.
it really is an elite
punishment.
It really was.
Like every time someone texts about it, you have to acknowledge it and then apologize for it.
And
it's so funny.
To bring it back though, from Case Keenum to Andre Johnson. So. He's three touchdowns to Andre Johnson in the first half of this game. And that wasn't even the craziest thing that happened in this game. Because Gary Kubiak had a stroke.
Oh.
Gary Kubiak had like a mini stroke in the middle of this game. And we weren't even we thought he might have died.
Yeah.
And I remember like they just put a huge cloud over the air. It was probably the weirdest game I've ever gone to at NRG Stadium. I remember like we were looking out the back window. We could see the ambulance leaving. We were keeping tabs on it. We were checking in with the hospitals during the game and stuff. This was back when the NRG Stadium press boxes had like phones that were landlines in there because you couldn't get cell service in there. So we were like calling and trying to figure out what the hell was going on.
Wow. I didn't realize that was the same game.
Oh, yeah. It was all in one game.
I remember seeing that on TV when it happened or just like on ESPN. That's one of the more probably strange experiences I would imagine anyone will have at like a football game.
Yeah,
because like it's
the
like,
coach looked like he passed away.
Yeah, like players get hurt and taken out in hospitals or in ambulances.
But a coach, but like you never coach, think about it. Yeah, yeah, I know it is kind of sad that we're like so desensitized to like the players getting like off the field. Like Deontay Foreman the other day like got immobilized. I guess he's doing better right now.
I say he might go back to practice even. Like
crazy man. Well, I guess he's trying to keep his.
I guess it was just their protocols. Like whatever happened to him, and he hurt his neck, and it was just their protocol to take him out on the helicopter and be taken out of there, but. Yeah, it sounds like he's okay, but that was a bizarre set of tweets just randomly happening because the media wasn't really there. They were there, but they were far away,
so no one really
knew what was going on. That stuff is frightening when it happens in football. Just to lighten the mood here a little bit.
Yeah, lighten the mood.
Case Keenum, career earnings, $51 million. So Davis Mills, he can do that. I'm going to double down on my take from earlier.
With inflation, it's actually possible. I don't know. I'm not sure I see it happening. Anyway, it is Gallon and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We are at the Hunter's Extravaganza. No word on when my crossbow is coming, but the hot gun gals have come in.
Yeah.
I'm just going to gawk the rest of the show. It's going to be great.
You're going to go buy one right now?
Yeah, I'm going to get my crossbow.
You're going to get a Bowie knife or something?
It's the Hunter's Extravaganza, so I'm sure that you can get something like that
there.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next, what we saw in last night's preseason game, plus what we need to see out of Yusei Kikuchi tonight. Galanda George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 at NRG Center. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5. Now back to the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at NRG Center for the 2024 Texas Trophy Hunters Extravaganza with Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Why did you want to be a Texan?
I would say closer to home, closer to where I'm from, and the opportunity here is like no other. The team here is like no other. I would say it's a super team, you know, whenever I can work my way into that role. But it's a super team here, you know. Everything's already in place. We got the coaches, we got the players, we got the quarterback, receivers, defense. What don't you have here? You know, running back. We got Joe. So, you know, everything's here. I just want to play my part. You know.
And they weren't thought of that way 2 years ago.
I think a lot of people would say that.
Joe, don't think I didn't notice you shaking your head right now.
I know what's coming next.
As Cam Akers said, super team, just because you're high and mighty with your cute little Chicago Bears getting their Super Bowl victory last night over our beloved Houston Texans. They're going to swarm all over your ass week two, bro.
All I can think about is Vince Young.
Yeah, well, Vince Young saying that versus more accomplished NFL player. I'm just kidding. Cam Akers saying that. Come on.
I mean, he's not wrong.
I mean, C.J. Stroud is on a super team, and for all those who are mad about him being rated 81 in Madden and being behind Kirk Cousins and Tua Tagovailoa in Madden ratings, remember, he's on a super team.
Super team.
Per Cam Akers, who played very well last night, and we shouldn't be making fun of him for this team comment.
It's good. It's like, because I hear the Vince Young when he said it when he was on the Eagles, and I'm like, well, Vince, you were, what, the third-string quarterback, I think it was, when he said that? So it's just... I like to hear that from my starters, not my backups.
Eagles backup quarterbacks have said some interesting things the last couple of years. I think Marcus Mariota, when he joined the Eagles last year, said something along the lines of, I've got things to show Jalen Hurts, after he had just won the MVP.
I remember that.
Like how to disappear from your team while you're on a reality TV show that's actually spotlighting you as a backup quarterback in the NFL?
Yeah.
After Desmond Ridder took your job?
But, yeah, Cam was good last night. And I wouldn't say he found a spot for himself on the roster last night, but it opened my eyes to the conversation, because when we've talked about it in the past, it's just like, he's just a body. But the way he looked last night, I'm more open to the idea of now, like, could he actually be a actual depth piece to this roster?
The real question is, are they going to keep him at the expense of somebody who can play special teams or something like that? Because I think the fact that you saw Dari Agumbawale come in at running back first and do pretty well on those couple of drives that he was in there for, he's a guy who can play special teams too. So he's, I think, got a roster spot. The fact that Akers came in before Jawar Jordan, because at training camp practice, it's been generally Jordan before Akers. Akers was usually one of the last running backs in there. I think that is interesting, but again, it's the first preseason game of the year. There's only so much that you can take away from it. I will say the three guys that I thought shined the most, I'm not somebody who specifically focuses on the trenches. Davis Mills, who we talked about, he looked pretty good in that game. And I liked what I saw from Kalen Bullock, though I didn't like his DJ Swearinger moment where he forced a fumble and he started dancing and the ball pops out of a pile behind him and it gets recovered by the Chicago Bears. But he had a nice touchdown-saving tackle. I felt like Bullock looked pretty good, and it'll be interesting to see if by the end of the year he's getting some real reps at safety. He is very, very tall and long and rangy out there. And last year, the Texans, as far as center fielders go with their safeties, they had some rough plays last year. As far as guys who struggled, linebacker Jamal Hill, who was number 56, I only noticed him doing bad things. Everyone who was trying to cover Colin Johnson, he was making them all look like fools. D'Amico Ryans, after last night's defeat at the hand of the Chicago Bears in a game that only lasted, what was it, 47, 45, 43 minutes or so, he had this to say about two starters, probably the only two starters that we saw regularly in training camp that played in this game, at left guard Kenyon Green and at center Juice Scruggs. Here is the head coach of your Houston Texans.
Yeah, every player is on a different track when it comes to reps and how they're playing. So wanted to see Juice and Kane get out there and get meaningful reps in, and just so they can continue to learn and play together. I think when you get the live reps, there's no better teacher than getting the live reps. So it was good for Juice to get out and get reps.
He's right on that front. I mean, one of the things that I don't like to focus on the offensive line and the defensive line when I'm out there at training camp practice because I can't see what the hell's going on. I think anyone who's telling you otherwise is kind of talking out of their ass. But D'Amico Ryans, when I asked him about, like, hey, like, how do you see this going right now, he kind of talked his way around it by saying, like, well, there's a give and take, and is everyone really going 100% there? But there was a practice a couple of days later, and I forget which day that it was, where D'Amico, like, tap danced around, like, talking about the offensive line, and they have been struggling to this point in training camp. So, again, you're going up against some backups for the Bears. It was important, I think, for Green and for Scruggs to get out there and actually get some real offensive line versus defensive line reps. I believe D'Amico also said some complimentary things about those two today at the Texans press conference on Monday. They had a Zoom call. So with those things being said, hey, good, it's trending in the right direction in the game because the offense has had some struggles through training camp practices 1 through 10.
Yeah, it's probably the only starters that should play in every single preseason game. Maybe not the last one. Is Kenyon Green, Juice Scruggs, specifically Kenyon Green. Like he's played so little. He's been pretty poor when he's been on the field. But after what happened last year where he was hurt in training camp, and he was hurt the whole time, and they were going to try to, you know, just work through the injury, but ended up knocking him out after what? After the first preseason game?
Something like that.
Like that. Like, so like, he's just played so little. You need him out there because this team, first of all, they have lack of depth on the offensive line, but just a lack of experience at the left guard and center position. So I was glad to see those two guys play. Like, I get why Lassiter didn't need to play in their mind last night. I would expect him to be out there again. But with the interior guys, it just made all the sense in the world for them to be actually participating in this game and being the only starters to do so.
You mentioned Lassiter there. I am nervous about them putting either Derek Stingley Jr. or Kamari Lassiter out there at any point because the depth in the secondary, it is, in my opinion, lacking. And I've pushed a couple of times for them to go after some sort of veteran, whether it's safety depth with Justin Simmons and Quandre Diggs still available, or at cornerback. I mean, Stephon Gilmore, defensive player of the year not too long ago, who played pretty well for the Cowboys last year, he's still available too. I feel like those are doors at the very least worth opening and saying, hey, what's up, dog? How's it going? Bringing him in for a workout or something like that, because after that, like the corner unit that we have seen come in after the starters at training camp practice has featured Mike Ford.
Don't want that.
No, I don't. I don't want to see that.
I mean, with Stingley, like, it's...
And he's had all those issues.
Exactly. You try to be glass half full with injuries. Like, it's
he's a great player when he's out there, but he's great ball skills, but he gets hurt a lot.
Yeah, I mean, he missed a start of last year. Like, he's just missed a ton of time. His injury history goes back to LSU. So, like, this isn't someone with a small sample size of injuries. It's rather large. And I just, like, week two, like, whatever, you're playing a good team, and Kamari Lassiter and Okuda are your two corners out there. Or maybe it's Desmond King factors into that somehow on the outside. I doubt it. But the depth is not there at the cornerback position. I'm with you. I'd love for them to add a cornerback. I know we've talked about this a little bit, but like Henderson is just a non-factor. He doesn't exist to me at this point. Like, I don't even know if he played last night. I had to keep looking at the depth chart. I've seen all these numbers and trying to figure out like who was who as the game was happening.
I'm glad that I waited until this morning to watch the game because that way I could fast forward through everything, but also feel comfortable like rewinding on the Fubo TV because I was doing the same thing, like double checking, like, wait, who's this guy? Who's this guy? Who's this guy? Even when I'm out at training camp practice, this is the thing that's been driving me crazy. And again, this is like classic Big J journalist complains about something nobody else cares about, but it is really hard to see what's going on often at training camp because it's like the players know that we're watching, and they probably don't, but this is me in my head thinking that they do, because they always like slowly angle in a way where you get to see less and less and less over practice. And that's why I think it's funny, like there are some people that are out there that are like saying, look, yeah, when I saw the trenches, oh man, it's gonna be key, and then they're like asked to be like specific about it, and then they like don't say anything about it. I don't know, I don't get it, but It's valuable to be out there.
It is.
You're not out there, and I am, because I'm just better than you. I'm sorry.
Come on, Paul.
I'm being an ass.
You want to trade? You want to trade for a day?
What, to have a kid? No. Absolutely not.
I'll bring my kid by. I'll drop him off. He's almost potty trained.
No.
So, like, you might only have to deal with, like, a couple of disasters, but I'll drop JJ off. You and Aria can babysit for a couple hours. I'll go to training camp.
No. It's so nice to not have any responsibilities at age 35. Like, some people judge me for it, and they should.
I'm not going to judge you.
They should.
No, you're fine.
I'm an irresponsible child. Anyway, it is Gallon and George. We're at the Hunters Extravaganza, proudly presented by the Texas Trophy Hunters Association. You can hear us on 97.5, 92.5, and 97.9 HD2. You can watch us. Now we're on remotes on camera at ESPN 975 on Twitch or on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You say Kikuchi, bare minimum expectations. What's a torching? Joe tries to explain that for the second time and a little bit later. It's Kalana George. Stay put.
You're listening to ESPN 975. To Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at NRG Center for the 2024 Texas Trophy Hunters Extravaganza.
Be back. We watched the Houston Texans last night. They lost to the Chicago Bears 21-17 in a game that ended due to rain. I hate it when football games get delayed or canceled due to rain. I get it. It's dangerous and stuff, but it's the one sport where weather typically doesn't affect things. You also will be seeing Andre Johnson getting inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame tomorrow. He is the last person scheduled to speak. I believe festivities start at noon. And on top of all of that, tonight is the night the Houston Astros big time trade deadline acquisition, Yusei Kikuchi, is going to be on the hill against the Tampa Bay Rays. 4.75 ERA, and it only cost you Joey Loperfido, Jake Bloss, and Will Wagner, son of Billy Wagner, to bring him in. A lot of pressure. I hope he got his 14 hours of sleep.
I still can't believe that. So he's been up for an hour and a half, most likely.
Yes, from what I understand, he goes to bed at 11, and he wakes up at 1.
Oh, he's got to go through a time change, though. I'm thinking, right?
Well, a Toronto's time change from where? Toronto is Eastern time.
So maybe woke up at noon.
Okay.
We went to bed at 10, woke up at noon. Something like that.
You got
to
have 15 hours sleep for your first start. So I hope, honestly, he's still in bed.
Oh, he's just still just like zonked out or just like just waking up right now, getting ready for the day.
I'm so jealous. I mean, how do you sleep for 14 hours a day? But that's what Yusei Kikuchi does. We touched on it earlier, but we are both looking for just a quality start from Yusei Kikuchi. I don't need to see a 10 strikeout performance. I sure would love it. I'd like to see him hit a hundo on the miles per hour side of things, but supposedly he tops out at, I think, 96. He's got some filthy stuff. You want to see some swing and miss. The Tampa Bay Rays are weird in that I don't know who's still good on their team, seeing as they sold so many parts at the trade deadline, and Wander Franco had that, you know, thing, and Randy Arozarena's gone. So I feel like the good news is for Kikuchi, who when I covered him in Seattle, from time to time, it was really frustrating how he wouldn't challenge some hitters. This is not going to be one of those nights where you're facing a scary lineup. Like, the Rays just beat you by being annoying with small ball BS and, like, openers and other weird, cheap, rinky-dink stuff.
And the occasional, like, massive home run from Jose Siri.
Around the
10 strikeouts that he also has in those games.
So. Astros legend Jose Siri. Get it right.
So we'll see him debut tonight. I'm curious to see when we see Pedro Leon debut. Has not played in his first two games as a member of the big league club. So I think a lot of Astros fans are anxious to finally see him in action
yep.
as well. Hopefully he starts out here pretty soon because while Chaz McCormick did okay, you know, post-trade deadline, he was solid with two hits in his last game. I think everyone's kind of ready for the Pedro Leon experiment to start as well because Kyle Tucker's still nowhere to be found.
Yes, that's true.
He's still completely missing in action. And
someone's got to massage that shin.
I don't know if that's going to help. It might make it worse. Like I feel like it might be like painful to the touch still right now. That's what I'm assuming.
He probably broke something.
They keep saying he didn't. It's the worst bone bruise in the history of bone bruises.
The worst bone bruise in the history of bone bruises.
I'm assuming so.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of bone bruises over history.
Well, what
about like who can forget old Sir Galahad back in 1203 in the Battle of the Battle of the Piney Woods.
Here's what I've learned. Okay, I've learned that right now we're supposed to be making takes on sports and say they're bigger than anything in history. Someone did this with the Panthers Bryce Young trade.
Okay, I was about to say, was that before or after he went to jail?
They said that it was John Middlecoff. He said the Bears Panthers trade was the biggest trade in not just sports history, but in American history, including better than the Louisiana Purchase. So,
well, that's just wrong because the Louisiana Purchase was an absolute robbery, and Napoleon, who was a great general, was honestly a little bit too nearsighted, focusing on Europe. I mean, they gave up a ton of great territory. They gave up on New Orleans, like
way too early,
idiots.
But like,
New Orleans invented the cocktail.
So I'm gonna go with that with Kyle Tucker. It's the worst bone bruise in the history of bone bruises. I can't.
I bet there's a.
I can't prove it, but
there was a knight in like. In like 1292, in the battles, the Hundred Years' War between England and France, and he had a bad one, even though he was wearing metal armor.
And it might have just killed him back then.
They amputated you back then, and it was a 50-50 proposition whether or not you were going to be out there in the field again. Because sometimes there were some peg leg nights, that's for sure.
But yeah, you said Kikuchi on the mound tonight.
Don't you love our baseball talk? It's like, oh yeah, it's well, hey, we got to wait to see what actually happens tonight. Yusei Kikuchi is somebody that does have some pretty electric stuff, and the Astros are going to have to get to work on fixing whatever they think it is that needs fixing for Kikuchi. He has not been good for the last 2 months, and the Astros clearly believe he is a lot better than those numbers indicate.
He better be. They need him to be. If they're going to really run away with this division at some point or just secure the division.
I don't know if the running away is ever going
to
happen.
The Mariners are trying their best to help you do that.
Exactly, and they're still not doing it. So, I mean, this is going to be a close one, I imagine, for a while, especially with this August ahead of us. Poor Marine on the Twitch comments. Man, you guys are exhausting. The Texans just lost a must-win game last night, and y'all are talking baseball. What the hell, guys? This is a trolling comment, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is the same Twitch that gets mad at us when we talk about football.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand them.
It's a troll.
Should we do the fancy thing?
Here?
I love them though. I just don't understand.
Put it up here on the.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we could do that now.
That's true. We've changed things up on our Twitch and our YouTube. We can feature comments now. How about that? Okay. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Andre Johnson is speaking at the Hall of Fame tomorrow. I'm going to say it again, 3 minutes or less. It's the key to every single speech in life, and I know that sounds a tad hypocritical coming from somebody who used to host a radio show by himself, who rambles all over the place, and has been on no less than three tangents talking about knight's bone bruises from the 1200s in this segment. All of that is granted. But for Andre Johnson, short, sweet, simple, and to the point.
Jim Irsay is going to be there tomorrow.
He is.
He's speaking for Dwight Freeney.
Listen, I hope that Jim Irsay is doing well. I truly do. He is a character. I enjoy characters in the NFL. There is a part of me that hopes that somebody shows up to the podium and that they're staggering a little bit.
He's going to be the first person we hear speak tomorrow.
Percocet. Molly Percocet. Represent. Got to represent. He's got to rep Indianapolis proper. And I would be super, super excited if he goes up there and he's a little slow with his words.
He might just say
something. A slur or two. No, not a racial one. Just a little slur from time to time as he's up there introducing Dwight Freeney.
It's gonna be fun. I'm excited to watch it. Like, we're gonna get, like, now that I know Jim Irsay is gonna be there, we'll have Kubiak. This should be a good one. This should be a good Hall of Fame class this year.
Yeah, the Syracuse guy getting in, Dwight Freeney, that's really key.
I didn't realize how much until
the Houston Texans terrorist back in the day.
Yeah, he was a monster. Mm-hmm. Him and Julius Peppers both, like, those are two of my favorite defensive players. Like, growing up, those guys just dominated all the time. They were so good.
I'm getting a kick. We're at the Hunter's extravaganza. It is an extravaganza. People are starting to file in.
I lost you there. For a second.
I'm not. Well, you did lose me. You did lose me for a little second. Listen, I have a little bit of the ADD, and I really appreciate the camouflage that some people are wearing on their way in. It's great.
Yeah, and then I caught it on the way, and I was like, I see what's happening. You
know? I love it. I'm gonna go in there. I'm gonna get lost. Maybe I'll find a wife. Who knows? Mm. It is Galan and George. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 if you have any final thoughts before we get out of here. We got a little garbage time and more. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. To Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at NRG Center for the 2024 Texas Trophy Hunters Extravaganza.
Last chance to dance. Got to say, I really appreciate pink and light blue camouflage.
Mm.
I really do.
Should we go find you a new phone case?
Yeah, and also I want to find, listen, I know a lovely lady, strong, powerful, independent woman, was wearing that camouflage pink and light blue blouse. Mm-hmm. I want to find one for myself.
Ooh.
I want a Hawaiian shirt version of that for me to add to the Hawaiian shirt addiction of mine. As we are outside the Hunter's Extravaganza, I did want to touch on this. I know everyone's talking about the boxing thing in the Olympics, but can we talk about how the United States didn't win in shooting?
Yeah, I saw that.
I mean, there was that cool Turkish guy, Yusef Dikeç, who may as well be a Texan for how casually he showed up. You've got another guy. This person is shooting for this is Korean woman Kim Ye-ji, who broke a world record and won gold. She looks like the Bond villain's right-hand man. I'm not saying like odd job, that would be racist. I'm saying, like, just insert, like, the top henchman.
Mm-hmm.
The coolest gun, this weird monocle thing. And we didn't even win.
I can't get over this Turkish guy, though.
Oh, yeah.
He's
that
just
guy
standing
is the
there,
boss.
Like, his hand in one pocket. Maybe that's how you do it, mm-hmm. or how you're supposed to. But he has, like, no special gear on. He's just out there, cool, calm, collected. This is one of those things where I'm like, is this really a sport?
No, it's a way of life.
It's a way of life.
It's a way of life, dude.
But you think we should have won?
Yeah, we're the United States of America. We shoot things all the time. How did we not win in the Olympics?
It's true. I guess they should be here recruiting.
Well, they should get back to the shooting range, okay? Mm. I don't know what the equivalent of in Miracle where the guy, Herb Brooks, has them skating back and forth again. But I need 20 hours like your Russell Wilson in the shooting range, shooting at targets until you hit everything possible. Like, you're that sniper in Saving Private Ryan.
Yep.
You have to be on that guy's level. I don't know what we're doing here. You know, the United States of America is not doing anything at these Olympics. I mean, for God's sakes, we don't even have the biggest schmenzers out there. Did you see the French diver?
I did see that.
The French diver is getting, like, underwear ads and stuff. Like, we don't even have that.
Yeah.
The French are stealing that. Good for that guy.
Yeah, I just feel like that. I feel like that's
good for that guy. You don't even need to medal at that point.
That's a plant.
It's a plant?
To try to make their country seem better.
do you think it's a PED? Do you think you put a sock in there or something
like that? Yeah, I think so. I think this is the plant to try to make people jealous of the French and something.
This is the only thing we've got going for us at the Olympics, okay?
I love this story.
And thank God, because Tom Cruise, American hero, apparently Tom Cruise is going to close out the Paris Olympics. Per TMZ, the plan for the closing ceremony involves Tom Cruise rappelling down from the top of the Stadium of France leading on the stadium field, carrying the official Olympic flag. The TV broadcast will then cut to a previously recorded film, and the first 2 minutes shows Tom's journey on an airplane, flying with the Olympic flag from France to L.A., where he skydives down to the Hollywood sign.
I cannot wait. This is so Tom Cruise. And this is so – if this is what the Olympics are going to be like in 2028 when they're in L.A., mm-hmm. I can't wait.
Tom Cruise is the closest thing that we have as an actor to an athlete. Tom Cruise puts his body on the line in movie after movie. He broke his leg in one Mission Impossible movie. He's riding motorcycles off of ramps into ravines. This guy, crazy, yes.
Total Looney Tune.
Scientologist, yes. But great American because of this. This is how you steal the show from France at the very end. Because, yeah, okay, Simone Biles, she did well.
But it's all about Tom Cruise.
But and Katie Ledecky as well.
She was awesome. She was very fast.
But we're losing at shooting, and the French are packing more than we are.
Yeah.
Can't like that.
No, that's tough. You know, some, you win some, lose some.
Let's wrap things up with a little garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Pour one out. Today is Skip Bayless's last day at Fox Sports 1.
Already? I didn't realize that.
Pour one out. This is it. Where will we get our hot takes from now? Who will fill the void of being a gas bag?
I mean, look.
I nominate myself. I would like to be handsomely compensated the way that Skip Bayless was back in the day.
You tried to, you know, get them to replace me.
Yeah, it's been with Skip Bayless. It's out of the budget.
I mean,
it's out of the budget.
You know, Lance is out next week on vacation. So
can we get Skip Bayless to guest host?
John and Skip?
Oh.
John's going to be in L.A. Skip's in L.A., I think.
Perfect.
That would be awesome.
You think John would let Skip Bayless in his house?
No. No. Don't think so.
He'll advise you on how you can have a microwave that's at waist height.
Ernestine.
That would be the weirdest combo I think we could put if somehow we got Skip to come in for a day.
John would be so disgusted.
John and Skip.
John would not like that. Continuing to go through garbage time, a man was arrested. Why? He was pulled over. A car sniffed a little Oski Woski in said car. And they found more than 2 pounds of marijuana and ecstasy stuffed inside Bucky's Beaver plushies.
This person should go to jail for life.
For life?
You can't desecrate Bucky's Beaver's plushies.
Oh, you absolutely like can. They're plushies. So this man should have Febreze's car.
You just can't do this with... Yeah. Also, yes. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you get caught with this?
I don't know. Apparently, he had a heart attack, too, when he got pulled over.
Oh, well, that probably is why. So, you know, that part of the story was left out at first.
I bet he had the heart attack after the cop discovered that the plushies were filled with a little Oski Woski. Guess what, guys? Are you a beach goer in Galveston Beach? Are you? Well, flesh-eating bacteria is back.
I don't love that.
No, I don't either.
Charles Barkley was right.
Galveston no offense to Galveston. Like, if you live there, you live there. You know. But Galveston Beach, it's not exactly the best beach to go to.
Yeah. I guess Charles was right. This is not great. Not on my, you know, to-do list often to go to the Galveston beaches. Mm-hmm. This is just going to make it lower down my list of things I want to do during the summertime.
Yeah, same here. I really wish that the beaches here were a little bit nicer. I really do. I got spoiled living in Florida. I wish I didn't know any better. I wish I thought that, like, a beach with flesh-eating bacteria was the way. Continuing to go through garbage time, a company in the rankings of states that are popular to move to says that Texas is the third worst state to move to in the United States, but it might be a little bit biased because it is an Oklahoma-based company. Oklahoma should be 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, I don't know how Texas is anywhere near the top of that list.
It's cheap.
Well, even just like, but there's so many states where there's just literally nothing.
Is Center Point bringing us down?
People are, Mattress Mac putting an ad campaign out to get their CEO out. I appreciate
that. I saw that.
Appreciate Mac doing that.
I mean, the CEO finally, after like trying to put the whole, you know, doing their job and cutting the branches that are around all the power lines, I saw that that guy, like, he's like, oh, you know what? I've thought about it. And since everyone's calling for my head, all right, maybe I won't put those costs on you.
Yeah. They're still, have they done that? Have they taken care of everything in your areas yet?
Yes, but I'm in, I think I'm in a nicer area that people are going to prioritize.
I don't know, man. Like, I mean, League City is nice, and it's like there's just still, they haven't touched it. There's still just branches everywhere.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. That sucks. But listen, we were going to wrap things up on a nice note. Did you know Houston has the oldest living person in the United States of America?
I didn't know that. I didn't know Joel Blank was the oldest person.
Oh, don't do that.
Oh,
come on. Now he's going to get mad at everybody.
He's not listening today. He's off today. I didn't know this.
Joe, like, this is why the war continues.
I know
this
is it
why.
Is. I just can't.
This
I
is
can't,
why the Killer Bees talk about you. You just open up every show.
I can't stop. I can't stop.
You do the drive-bys back. I'm just uncomfortably in the middle, and I throw gasoline on it from time to time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
From time to time, but just from time
How
to time.
How old is this person?
She is 115.
Hard pass.
Elizabeth, what? What? You don't want to live till you're 115?
No. No chance.
I don't know. There's a certain point where it's probably pretty sick to live long. Elizabeth Francis credits her long life to her faith in the Lord and says she's never smoked and only had an occasional glass of wine.
I like the older person that was over 100, and she said she drank Dr. Pepper every day, and that's what kept her going. So,
interesting.
You choose your life.
Just ripping heaters and
throwing
back some Dr. P,
mixing
with a little rum or something like that. There we go. All right, and there we go. We are outside the Hunters Extravaganza. Big line outside presented by the Texas Trophy Hunters Association. Looks like it's going to be a rollicking time inside. I'm going to go find my wife in there. For everybody here, for the ESPN 97.5 team, for Joe George, for Sean Mapes back at Mission Control, I am merely Paul Gallant, the Killer Bees, with a special guest coming up next. So long, farewell, and have yourselves a wonderful weekend. Peace!
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.